Okay, let's get ready to go into the Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready now to go into the Word of God. And the subject that I'm sharing, Father, is a difficult subject. It's something we all have to experience with time with You. And so, Father, today, this morning, I pray that You would help me to communicate clearly across to Your people what has helped me to know Your voice. And Father, today I ask that Your people have ears to stay focused. They're not thinking about Santa Claus and all that stuff, but they're focused on the Word of God this morning, because it's more important than anything else. In Jesus' name. And so Father, anoint them. Anoint me to deliver in Jesus' name. Amen. I said last Sunday that one thing that I pursued more than anything else is to know the voice of God. And I'm just going to be openly candid with you that the voice of God is probably one of the most difficult things that you'll struggle your whole life to learn. And you make strides, you make little steps as you go along, but I have learned, to a point, I've learned how to capture the mind of the Lord on issues or subjects, but it's only been here a little and there a little, just like Revelation comes here a little and there a little. And so you capture a little bit of understanding as you grow in the Lord, but it takes time. And so this morning, I want to reintroduce all the types of voices that we hear today. And I want to deal with one particular voice called the voice of reasoning. And that's the voice I want to focus on. There's no use focusing on the other voices if you don't understand how to deal with the voice of reasoning. And so we have what we call the voice of reasoning. This is where we come out of experiences and things like that. Then the voice of the enemy, Satan, the voice of the spirit, the voice of physical hearing, then the voice of the body. This is what I call the voice of manifestation. And then you have the voice of the prophetic. And so if you don't understand the basic concept of how the voice of reasoning works, then the rest of them will be greatly hindered and in a tremendous way. And like I said, I've pursued God with everything that is within me to know the voice and the clarity of that voice. And I've found that the voice of reasoning probably is the most difficult voice to really center in on, because it has some attributes to it. How many of you know what an attribute is? Something that gives a witness to something that exists. Like if we were to look at a duck, how many of you know a duck has attributes about it? Web feet. He kind of has a body for water. You know, swims. You know, those what we call attributes. Well, when I talk about the voice of reasoning having certain attributes, that would be the best way for me to approach this particular voice, is to kind of give you some information of the attributes of this voice. Then I'm going to give you some things that I've learned through the Word of God that helps me to give definition when the voice of reasoning is a part of my life. So first of all, let's give the attributes of the voice of reasoning. Many of us don't look at it from this perspective, but I had to begin to look at it from this perspective, because I had been in church for, I'd say about 4 years. I even went to an Assembly of God school. Nothing wrong with the Assemblies of God, but I went to their Bible school. And after I had graduated, and through a host of different things happening in my life, more led than I thought I was being led, I ended up in Oak Ridge, Oregon, with a young man by the name of Dave Roberson. And you all know Dave, you know, he's been here. And He started preaching to me when I was with my brother-in-law, Mick Larson, at that time. He was an evangelist that time. He wasn't my brother-in-law because he hadn't married into the family yet. But Mick was an Assembly of God man. And so Dave Roberson started preaching at me. And he pinned me against this Western Auto wall. Western Autos used to exist, but now they're history, I guess. But anyway, he was saying everything that I was taught the opposite of. And so I was liking what I hear. At the same time, I was saying, how stupid have I been? And then, of course, my brother-in-law, he wasn't too hept at what Dave was sharing with me. And every time he tried to talk to me, Dave had me against the wall preaching to me about something that I hadn't heard before. And so Dave asked me if I would be interested in coming to Sunday school and listening to his Sunday school teacher, which was Earl Hitson at that time. Remember the logger? Boy, I'm glad that I didn't go by Earl Hitson's delivery for the Word of God. He was the driest. I mean, if you can get juice out of a cracker, I'd say he would be one that you'd hope has some juice somewhere. But so I decided to go to the Sunday school, and so Sue and I planned our whole weekends for the first 3.5 years. We planned our whole weekends around Tacoma to Oak Ridge, Oregon. I think it was 375 miles to Oak Ridge. And that was an experience because you have to really want the Word of God to go that far for the Word of God. You know, back then the Word of God was not prevalent like it is today. And so we made that commitment, and we got a car that was good on gas. I'm glad the gas wasn't what it costs today. We'd have to really grow in faith. And so that was our church. And so I started listening to him, and he was saying things that I bore witness in my spirit, but my head was kind of going tilt. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced getting two sides of something to where you got confused. Have any of you ever been confused at a moment in your life? There was a moment in my life I was confused because I had one guy telling me this one and this one telling me this one. And so I got alone with the Lord and I said, Lord, I want to know your voice. I want to know your voice. How do I learn to know your voice? And he said, well, you can start by prayer. And I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear I'm going to show you how you can pick up names of people and their addresses, and you can prophesy perfectly to. That's what I was interested in, you know, how to really give God the glory. And when he said prayer, okay, well, thank God prayer got a hold of me. And I started praying. People, if you want to know God's voice, have a prayer life. If you don't have a prayer life, I'm going to tell you, you will struggle with the voice of God. You'll be in and out like popcorn. When you develop a prayer life, when you are consistent with it, I'm not talking about the amount of time, but consistency means a lot. Then you start by being consistent, reading the Word of God. Reading it. You might not understand it, but read it. And the Lord has a way of speaking things to you that really wake you up to what you desire. Everything that I've ever desired from God through the Word of God has always come to me, but it hasn't come easy. It comes with a little dedication. It comes with a little persistence on your part. And so this is what God told me about the voice of reasoning. And so you might want to write these down. Please write them down, because when you go back and meditate on them, they are going to help you deal with this issue of reasonings. This is what God has shown me over a period of time. And I've given myself to know these things to a point. Number one, the voice of reasonings has a history. What kind of history? When you were brought into the world and you were being raised, you had inherited a voice we call reasonings. Now, when you get born again, get ready. When you get born again, the voice of reasonings is not like the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit has no history with you. See, if you learn these things, it'll open the door of humility for you. And I'm going to show you how to do that. But when I begin to realize that the voice of my Spirit will be a voice that doesn't have a living history with it like the voice of reasoning does. I'm trying to make this ABC for you people, because hearing God's voice is extremely difficult. But if I can give you the identity of reasoning and then give you the perimeters by how God speaks, when you're listening to this voice of reasoning, it is going to help you immensely. It has really helped me immensely. So, if I realize that the voice of the Spirit has no history, then that means that history has to be developed. It has to be poured into me. And it'll come through my spirit, not my body. So, the voice of reasonings has a history. It's what you've lived. Okay? This is, are you ready? The voice of reasoning is where we all start as inexperience. In inexperience. Every one of us, see, we don't think this way like a little baby. When a baby comes into the world, our little grandson just came into the world. That little baby, all he's doing is he's picking up something called familiarity. He's beginning to know whose daddy is, whose mommy is, whose grandma is, whose grandpa is. See, but it's how we talk to him and how we communicate to him. And he just sits there and all he can do is just take things in. But he don't know how to think things out. Why? Because he don't have a history yet. And so the road of time really gives strength to the voice of reasonings, which leads to the place where we all start when we're inexperienced. Then the second thing that we have to know about the voice of reasonings, it also comes with a voice of manifestation. I call it the voice of the body. This is also where the voice of desire comes. So if you understand these things about the voice of reasoning, you understand what's involved in them, it will help you then to discern how to grasp the perimeters of this voice. He who opens his whole heart is a fool. And so this is going to help you. Another attribute to the voice of reasonings is it always comes with two thought processes. Two thought processes. One is called the voice of experience. We call it the voice of the carnal mind. And then you have what we call the voice of the Spirit. And so you, when you get born again, you now have two ways that communication is going to be working. And that's what we call the voice of reasoning. And you have two thought processes that work within the voice of reasoning. Another thing that you need to know, this is where Satan begins with injecting his thoughts. This is where he begins. Why? Because you're inexperienced. And this is where he can inject his thoughts to do what? This is where you're the most vulnerable, because you're the most inexperienced, and he will approach you and speak against the knowledge of God. That is his main goal, is to get you to question what God has said. That has been his MO from day one to this day, very day, right now. He's still doing it. Hath God said, Eve? In the day that you eat thereof, you will not die. He is a deceiver. And his main goal is to inject in you a thought that God had said, but he will question, he will get you to question what God has said. And he'll use the body to do it. He told Adam and Eve, you'll die. That's what God said. In that day you die, dying thou shalt die. And he said, no, you won't. They ate, they didn't die physically. But they didn't understand when God said, dying thou shalt die. Are you following me? See, Satan's main goal is to put thoughts into your thinking when you're in the realm of reasoning. Now, another thing that you got to understand about the voice of reasonings, this is the voice of experience. This is where strongholds are developed. Through the road of time, you will develop a stronghold. It's a fortress. And what you're doing with this fortress, this reasoning that you've developed, is to put you into it from unfavorable circumstances of life for your protection, but really it's your prison. You've developed this process of thinking as a stronghold to protect you, but really the Word of God says it is your prison. Now, I'm just giving identity to the voice of reasoning. I'm not going to give you a whole lot. But I'm going to give you what is necessary to understand about this voice. I wish I could tell everybody that just because you hear a voice on the inside of you doesn't know whether you're hearing the voice of the body or the voice of the spirit. Can you tell the difference between the two? That was my struggle. How can I tell? Matter of fact, when I was asking Dave and Mick Larson and got right in there, how do you know the voice of God? How do you know? And they said, comes from your belly. Comes from down here in your belly. Really? From the belly. I know a lot of things that go there, but I don't know too much about coming out of it. Well, you know, it's the center of your person. Where? The belly. Oh. Try to squeeze your belly and hope that you get a sound out of it like you do an animal, you know. That's a struggle. And finally, being as frustrated as I was, I said, God, how can I begin to understand what voice is coming at me? Now this is what you call real deep, real heavy. God said, stick to the Word of God. Amen. Now we're talking about some perimeters here. Stick to the Word of God. Stick to the Word of God. And know the wisdom of God, and with that wisdom, get understanding. You know what, people? You can have the principles of wisdom till it comes out your ears, but if you don't know why the principles were laid down, then I guarantee you, you can be moved off those principles. Why? Because understanding the principles, why they work, will stabilize you. That helps. Now, we're talking about, we left the MO of reasoning. Meaning that the voice of reasoning has two voices that go through it. This is where your inexperience starts. This is where you have a two-thought process working. This is where Satan can inject his thoughts into you, because this is where you're the most vulnerable. This is where we have the voice of desire, the voice of experience, These all belong to the voice of reasoning. And people, that is enough to confuse you. I know it frustrated me. And so the heart of God that I cried out was, God, I want to know your voice. And God took me to some scriptures, first of all, to validate what I was asking for. And I'll tell you what one right about right now. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Go to Proverbs 20. Go to Proverbs 20. And let's look at verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, you know what this tells me? When God gave me this verse, I said, Father, share with me what I'm asking about. I want to be able to identify every time your voice. Now, you know, a lot of you in this congregation have shared things with me. I knew right away, that's not the voice of God. Because I already had within me the knowledge of the perimeters from which that voice will stay within. It will not violate those perimeters. And when you're in the voice of reasoning, you need to know those perimeters. Because if you don't know those perimeters, you will hear a voice that will take you down the wrong road. Every time. So he says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters. You know what that's saying? Counsel in your heart is like deep waters. I don't know why people do the things that they do, but they have evidently processed something in their heart that you can't figure out. It's like deep waters. You can't see. You can only discern where it begins, but you don't know where it ends. I've heard people prophesy to people that embarrass me. Because I knew the person they were prophesying to and what they were saying to them. And I go, oh my God. He's not operating in the word of prophecy. Well, how did I know that? Well, first of all, he was saying something to somebody I knew that was so whacked I couldn't believe it. Did you know one guy who was glorying in his prophetic ministry walked up to Dave Roberts and said, when are you going to, the Lord told me that it's about time you give your heart to the Lord. I looked at Dave and I just looked down. And that guy went on and on and I'm sitting there, oh my gosh, what does Dave think? And Dave, when it was all through, I said, Dave, what did you think about what he said to you? He said, I shut him down after the first three words. Yeah. I just shut him down. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. When you think you know something, I guarantee you, you'll find something that you don't know. You know, Kenneth Hagin told me one time, I said, Dad, when it comes to the voice of God, how do you know the voice of God? And he said, we don't have that much time. Because it takes time to be able to understand how counsel will come out of the heart of a person. You know what, people? In our dispensation, we have the dispensation that is the best dispensation you could be in. It's where he writes his will on the tablets of our heart. He don't write them in a book. He writes them on the tablets of our heart. Okay, so when he said counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters, but notice the next half of the verse. He says, but a man of understanding can draw it out. And when I saw that, I said, I want to draw it out. That's what I want to, hear his voice. And that's when he took me to Hebrews chapter 3. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. I want to show you something there that's powerful. I don't want to get sidetracked here. But in Hebrews chapter 3, as I'm reading chapter 3 of Hebrews, I begin to realize what he is saying. He's talking about the house of the Lord, Jesus. Not the house of Moses, but the house of the Lord. And he mentions, I think in verse 5, mentions Moses, and he was faithful in all his house. But now we've got a different house that he speaks to us in. He doesn't speak to us as he did in the house of Moses. He speaks to us as in the house of Jesus. Now I'm giving you some parameters that will help you to control the voice of reasoning with its attributes. And we covered the attributes as being very confusing if you don't know how to discern by parameters that are given to us. And so here he says, go down to verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice. So it's important that we hear his voice. Then he goes on a little further in the chapter, verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice. Now there was a voice that was expressed through the voice of Moses. Did you know that? But that same voice that was expressed through Moses is not the voice that you and I are going to hear for where we're at. Because we belong at the house of Jesus, not the house of Moses. Amen. Now I'm giving you some parameters to help you corral the voice of God, especially when you start reading the Word of God. You won't be confused. Because you'll be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. The word rightly divide means to cut in the right path. The right direction. Well, you can't live out of the house of Moses and then out of the house of Jesus at the same time. So therefore, if he has anything to say to you, he will not say it outside of the person who Jesus is. And that'll help you a lot. Then he goes on to say in chapter 4, he says about verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day saying in David, today. After such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice. You know what he was trying to get across to somebody? Because their heart was hardened. And he was referring to the Jew. And today the Jew, I'm sorry, is very hardened towards Jesus. Very hardened. They do not see him as a Redeemer, a Savior. So, I thought it was very interesting in chapter 4, he brings down to about verse 4, let's go there, I want to show you something. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. When I read that, for he has spoken. And I got to thinking, now, today if you will hear his voice. All right, we're supposed to listen to him through the house of Jesus, which is our spirit, and not out of the house of Moses, which is a written, which is a written translation. So what and God just dropped it right in me. He said, why don't you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and see what God said after all his works were done. And I decided to go back there. Genesis chapter 2. And let's go to verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his works, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his works, which he has done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God had made the earth and the heavens. Now I want you to notice something. God, and let's go to verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became actually a speaking. And the Lord God, man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he talks about the rivers that ran through it and everything. And he talked about everything that he had created. And what do you think God told him after he created everything? Do you guys know what he said? Well, I know he said it's good. What he said to Adam and Eve was what? Take dominion. Take dominion over all the works of my hand. Matter of fact, Adam, I give it to you. How many can say, Amen? Take dominion. You know what? When God, through the present day ministry of Jesus, took dominion for the church, you know, he gave all his authority to the church. What's he saying today, if you'll hear his voice? Take dominion. Same thing, we're the salt of the earth. You guys know that? We're the salt of the earth. You know what that means? That means the church is in good position through the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ to get things that God wants done, done. Then he comes down to about verse 12 of chapter 4. And he says, look, if you got to realize something. He says, the word of God does something for you. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Actually, in the Greek, it's a two-mouth sword. So you got two voices going here that he's talking about. He said, but what the word of God does, it brings a division between those voices. It cuts a division between those voices. One attribute of the voice of reasoning is it begins to have two channels of voice. One of the carnal mind and one of the spiritual mind. The carnal mind has a history to it. The spiritual mind has no history to it. You've got to learn it now as you're growing, just like you had to learn it when you were growing up in the natural. Now, you and I have got to realize that everything that the carnal mind has come up with is not all bad, not all negative, because God designed the Word in such a way in the Old Testament that the voice of God could be found in the wisdom of God. And it hasn't changed. Just because we're in Christ now, do you know that the voice of wisdom, has not ceased in us? Because the voice of reasoning can pick up the understanding of wisdom. Why? Because if you go back into the Old Testament, you know what wisdom tells you? Wisdom says, this is what you do by learning from an ant. This is what an ant does. You know what he uses? He uses the animal kingdom to teach you how to make the right and do the right thing. You mean to tell me an animal is teaching me what to do? Yep. Because it's in nature to do what isn't necessary to do correctly. So your first line of defense is not faith. Your first line of defense is wisdom. So when you have two channels for a voice to come through, you've got to realize that you're better off going to the Word of God and realizing letting God's Word speak to you first in the perimeter of wisdom so that your faith, when it is exercised, it has stability to it because it's on the groundwork of wisdom. I'll tell you what, you know what scares me about learning about His voice? Because now when I don't obey it, I deliberately am disobeying it. I hate that. And I find it within myself, well, I got to do this because of so-and-so. So he says here that he had spoken in a certain place on the seventh day, and he had rested from all his works, turned around and gave it to Adam and Eve, and they turned around and gave it to the devil. So God had to get back to the church. Now, he said the Word of God divides between the spirit, and the soul. He divides it. You know, I thought it was very interesting when you get over in Proverbs 4, it talks about take the word and keep it in the midst of your heart. You know the word midst there? When you read it, it seems like in the center of your heart. But that word midst is the Hebrew word to sever. It means to cut off between two voices. Or to sever what is said within you. Now, how are we going to do that? Thank God for the Word of God and the wisdom of God. Because, guess what? That is what God has already spoken. He didn't write it, He spoke it. We wrote it under the divine direction of God. But we didn't write an understanding of graphite. We wrote what God had spoken to man. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want to understand what it means to hear the voice of God, you got to have a diligence in you to crave that, or you will be a deader than a hammer when it comes to God's voice. You won't even obey Him. You'll begin to violate your own inner conviction that God had given you through the new birth. You begin to violate that. You won't even obey Him. You put Him off in the background to do something else in the natural. Every time. How do you know that, Jan? I done it. I'm a doer of the wrong word. But you learn out of it. And you lose precious time. Then verse 13. Nobody ever mentions this verse. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Well, thank God for our translators, but boy, they sometimes can mess the Word of God up horribly. That is not what it says in the Greek. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If He said the Word of God can dissect your whole person, then what would be the next word that He would put there? To be accountable to Jesus? No. In the Greek it says, you are accountable, therefore, to the Word of God. It doesn't say you're accountable to Him. He says you're accountable to the Word of God. Why? Because that is one of the perimeters He has given you for the voice of reasoning. The Word of God that has to be rightly divided. Amen. Put in the right path. I tell one of you in this building, every one of you in this building can say with me, every one of you, you violated the voice of God in you. Should I ask for your hands? How do I know that? Me? I'm just as guilty as you are. But I'm sharing with you not only the attributes of the voice of reasoning. You have to have confidence that the voice of reasoning can also speak against the knowledge of God. See, that's that two channels that come. And so, I've got the Word of God, and I've got the wisdom of God, because no matter what voice of reasoning I have, God has already given me a place where He's spoken. Therefore, I can go back to the Word of God, because He's already spoken it. But the voice of reasoning, you know what it'll do on the inside of you? It'll begin to say things to you, and you're not going to know how to separate what is of God out of that voice, and what is of God. And I'm going to share with you something that I've learned. When God has written it here, because He spoke it to men, the heart of men, men wrote it down, but He spoke it to men. He spoke what He wanted you to hear. It's what He spoke. Now, God is very unique in how He set things up. Very unique. But the thing that helped me to understand the voice of reasoning from the voice of God, did you know that wisdom can be obtained by your natural mind, carnal mind? It can. And your carnal mind can receive it because it knows that if you're a good steward over your things that you own, you'll have good success because you take care of it properly. Now, would you need a spiritual revelation for that? Some of you do need it. No, your natural mind knows better. How many of you known the wisdom of God when you've read it in the Bible and go, man, that's what I need to do? Now, here's what helped me to hear His voice clear. When God ever speaks to you off of the foundation of His wisdom, you know what He goes right to? Well, it comes out of His Word because that's groundwork for your faith. You know what He comes right to? Right to you? Here's where His voice will have its greatest effect. He goes right to you out of speaking to you out of wisdom. He goes right to you. And what He does, He reveals to you your fruit. I don't like that. No, not when you're fruity. That's the first area that His voice will go to, is how you're bearing fruit. And if He don't like it, you'll know it. That's the first line that He'll begin to work in you. Because He says, you'll know somebody by the fruit. If He's going to say anything to you, He's going to go right to what you're producing. That's what He'll go to every time. And that's where the Christian mind violates God the most. He does not correct himself. He continues to bear the same fruit all the time. Never makes any headway. Matter of fact, if you keep that up, you'll begin to digress in what you're doing for Him. And so that was one of the perimeters I began to realize, that if He's going to say anything to me to encourage me, the first thing He's going to do is speak to me about the fruit that I'm bearing. How many of you ever sat down with God and was honest with Him? And He spoke to you and said, like He did me, it was in that green chair. It was at our house at one time. You know what He said to me? I was asking Him about something in my life that I was not too productive with. You know what He said to me? He said, how do you like your fruit? Do you know what that did to me? It was like a knife. It was a knife. He wanted me to quit thinking in line with what I was doing, to get on track with Him and what I should be doing. You know, Mark, I don't know if you men that don't show up at the men's breakfast, you should have showed up here. Mark said phenomenal things when he made turn to the Lord. And you know what I noticed about Mark? Everything he said was this. I was doing this, I needed to gain here, and God showed me what I needed to do in me to go there. It was powerful. I listened to every word he said, and I said, my Lord, you don't need me. You're inside them. You can see what's working in somebody. And even Mark said, I didn't even like some of the things he said to me. But he said, when I did them, I gained the blessing. You know, what is it about us when the God of the universe, who's going to create this whole new planet, who's now doing the universe the way He's doing, it's increasing a lot, and we sit here and we're saying, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Boy, how narrow-minded we are. No wonder He's so frustrated with us. No wonder Jesus said, God, how long am I going to be with these people? You know, He did do that. You can't raise Him from the dead. He already stinketh. Oh, groaned within himself. I am the resurrection. Now, here's something also that helps you, that a lot of believers lose their sensitivity to this. And that's what we call an inner witness. This is where it begins its operation, in where we're in experience. This is, every one of us are promised this inner witness. When we get born again, you automatically have a knowing of what's right from wrong. Now, some of you might have a different way of reading that. I don't know. But I've noticed that every believer I've talked to has always had something go off on the inside of him that they knew they were not. It was not right. Or it was okay to do. Do you know my desires could override that inner witness? And every time I did that, I suffered for it. You know, God, this is a thought that will help you also to understand how to corral this voice of reasoning. Are you ready? God will always speak to you in a way that you increase. Period. You don't decrease, you increase. Your life 1 year was one level, but the second year, it's a better level. Third year, fourth. How many of you can testify we've gained more insight of the Word of God the last 5 years than we've ever gained? Amen. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. That ain't Jan Butler. That's the Holy Ghost. But if you haven't been consistent with hearing it, you ain't where you have to stay consistent to know what we're saying, because your carnal mind can pick up, oh, I know all that, and yet you really don't know it. You think you do. How do you know? Because of me. I've heard things, and I've logged it, but the experience of life, I had to take action to it. Did you know your faith can be just perfect and everything else? And yet if you don't do what your faith commends you to do, then you won't succeed. Faith is a verb, I won't say that. Faith is a verb. You have to act on what you know. That's why he attacks your fruit. Why? It's an example of what you're producing on the inside of you. That means if it's not good, you're not hearing the voice correctly. And you know what God will do? He's not a blabbermouth. Like me. What God will do, He'll always take you right back and speak out of the Word of God. And if it ain't there, then people can, listen, you can hear things that sound so much like the Word of God. Oh, you can go, ooh, ooh, ah, ah. And yet, because I have those perimeters in me, I can recognize right away, that ain't the Word of God. That ain't how it works. Why? Because I got these perimeters in place how God speaks. God will not speak outside of where you belong. Do you know where our faith is actually anchored? How many of you know it's anchored in Jesus? Well, if you understand the present day ministry of Jesus, you don't need to worry about the direction the world's going in. Because you're already anchored in Him. And people say, well, I don't believe in the rapture of the church. Well, I do. Why? Because as this present world gets more evil, that is a pretty good sign to look up and rejoice. Our redemption draweth nigh. He did not form the present day ministry of Jesus to be overtaken by corrupt government. And if government gets so corrupt, He'll just take His church out. He will not submit it to a corrupt government. I had to learn that just recently because I was driving with somebody to get some gas put in my truck. And they're very knowledgeable about government stuff and everything. We've all talked about it, several of us in here. And this guy was... I mean, when he opened his mouth, it wasn't you, Bob. It was somebody else I was with. And well, Bob has a passion for where the government is and everything, and I respect that. But this guy, when he got through telling me what he knew, I was so shaken up that I got in my prayer closet and I said, God, I don't feel this much fear until he said what he said. And I have a lot of fear and concern. You know what God told me? He said, don't even pay attention to it. He said, did Jesus pay attention to the Roman rule? No, he said he came to present his kingdom. Don't worry about it. He said, nothing's going to happen to you. He says, right now you just concentrate on preaching the gospel. Win as bring as many into the kingdom as you can. That's all you need to do. guys for. He says, this government will never get to a place that will rule my church. We're in the present day ministry of Jesus. So when he speaks, another perimeter that I've learned is he will always speak peace to you in the perimeters of the body of Christ, not any other dispensation or generation. He don't speak to you what you got to do through the last seven year period of years that's determined upon the nations in Israel. He's speaking to us now for transformation, for growth, for increase. And then when the other gets so bad, then we can't preserve it no more. We'll just come right out. You want to know why? We belong to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So when you also learn the perimeters of how God will speak to you, you'll stay in the right place. Why these people abandon Christianity to go to Judaism? They're not staying in the right place for God to hear them correctly. If they were in the right place to hear correctly, they would lead the Judaizers out of Judaism and into Christianity. And they can't do that because they're hearing another voice. So he'll always speak within the perimeters of where our gospel is centered. And can anybody tell me where they are? Do you know that the four gospels, synoptic gospel, doesn't speak of our time period where we hear his voice? All it does is speak of the person of Christ and his ability. Are you following me? But he was given to the Jewish nation that rejected him. Those four gospels. But when you come to end time things and you want to know about your position now, where your faith should be, it's all in the epistles of the New Testament. That's where they're found. The bottom end of your faith, in the perimeter that you need to keep this reasoning, this mindset, is you got to keep it corralled by the New Testament epistles. You have to know them. Then when you go back into the Old Testament, you can say, they had this, we have this. That's why they got into what they got into, and we stay where we belong into his image. You're in the right camp. So, well, do you think this will help you a little bit? We're talking about the voice of reason. Somebody said, well, I want to know about how the voice of the Spirit. If you don't understand the voice of reasoning, forget the voice of the Spirit. You'll mess it up every time. You got to get that basic voice down called reasoning. It's worked on me enough. Still works on me anyway. You mean you haven't arrived? No. Well, just the other... No, I ain't going to say that. Sue's here. I was going to talk about a voice of God. I knew it was God, and I just disobeyed it. Okay, she did all our clothes and had them all folded up on the coffee table and everything and all over the couch and everything. And she said, I want you to put all these clothes away. No, I ain't gonna. She says, I'm out of the door. I'm out of here. And she left. And I'm sitting there. This voice come to me. Are you going to do what she said or are you not? Oh, hi, God. He says, you get them put away. I didn't want to tell you when you're here. So I got up and put them away. She came home. Oh, I see the clothes are all put away. If I'd have told her then it was the Lord that made me, she'd have slapped me. It takes the Lord to tell you. You should do it out of the love of your heart. You know, you should... Yep. It would be like the devil made me do it. It's always the Lord made me do it. Well, when are you going to do it on your own? Well, you guys, I'm pretty sure you got something here. And Wednesday nights, we're going to continue on the subject of faith. We introduced it last Wednesday. And a lot of you said you really got a lot out of it. and helps you to understand the multifaceted to faith. Faith is multifaceted. Most of us think faith is only something you use when you need it. That's not true. It's multifaceted. It's growing in you. Okay, everybody, stand up. We're going to have a good service tonight. Please come out and support our children. Support the church by being present. And I know you're going to be blessed. The only thing I have against the whole aperture here is your clock never keeps the right time. And who's the guy with the parakeet? The parakeet. Is that Bill Moore's dad? Wow. Seth, he painted that? Wow. Seth, where are you? That's awesome. It's Mr. Cooper tonight in the play. Wow. I thought that was a picture. But it's a painting. Wow. Okay, let's get back to church business. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now close this service, Father, I open our pulpit up to whoever would like to receive Jesus. Never said the sinner's prayer, never came into the kingdom of God and would like to do that this morning. We want to make that available. Also, if there's a brother or sister here, Father, that has been struggling in their walk with God, haven't been consistent with Him, Father, would like prayer to rededicate their position with Him. Get back to that first love that they had. Oh, Father, that sweet fragrance of the Spirit that You had with them. Father, we'd love to pray with them. Hallelujah. And Father, if there be anybody here that has never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, we'd love to lay hands on them and watch God fill them with the Spirit. And if you have a physical healing that you need badly, then we'd be glad to pray with you. So with that said, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to come up right now during this time period, please feel free to come up. This is where altar workers will get with you and pray with you and give you information that you need or to come into agreement with you. Whatever that is, just step out, come up. Anybody? Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Anybody? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, my prayer is that all of us hear Your voice clearly during the holiday seasons. That we would be on alert for those that might need Your protection. For those that, Father, will hear Your voice so that the holiday season will come and go in a way that it won't undo anybody. But it'll be a season of blessing for them. And so, Father, I declare that they'll have a safe trip home or wherever they go. And no alcohol, no texting, no marijuana will take them out, but they'll have a safe trip home in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Sorry, I'm serious when I pray that way. Because now we got texting and marijuana to add to the mix, and that ain't good. God bless you all. Hallelujah.